Translation. Whether one is a Brahman, a sannyasi, or a Sudra, regardless what he is, he can become a spiritual master if he knows the signs of Krishna. Purport. This is, I was reading yesterday, it's a really beautiful purport. And usually, devotees, I also have that tendency of read partially the purport and then we make our own comment and then we forget about the rest of the purport, which is an injustice to Prabhupada because it's a beautiful purport. And what I would like to do today is to, I'm going to read one paragraph, but I don't want to bore you because I have an accent. My English is not that good. Then I'm going to pass the next paragraph to someone who is fast and good English. Perhaps maybe Govinda could read the next one. And then somebody could read one more paragraph. And then one lady could read the last one. And we can have an interactive discussion on this because it's beautiful verse by Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada, when he gives very long purport, means he's emphasizing something. It doesn't mean that the person who is giving class, you know, he has to neglect most of the purport to give his own comment. I don't want to do that because the best speaker, you will see, the purport is really nice. And even if I have 1 minute speaking afterwards, I don't mind. This verse is very important, Srila Prabhupada says, to the Krishna consciousness movement. In his Amrita Prabhava Bhasya, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that one should not think that because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was born a Brahman and was situated in the topmost spiritual order as a sannyasi, it was improper for him to receive instructions from Srila Ramananda Roy, who belonged to the Sudra caste. To clarify this matter, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu informed the Ramananda Roy that knowledge of Krishna consciousness is more important than caste. In the system of Varnashram Dharma, there are various duties for the Brahmans, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudras. Actually, the Brahman is supposed to be the spiritual master of all the other Varnas or classes. But as far as Krishna consciousness is concerned, everyone is capable of becoming a spiritual master because knowledge in Krishna consciousness is on the platform of the spirit soul. To spread Krishna consciousness, one needs only to be cognizant of the signs of the spirit soul. It does not matter whether one is a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Sannyasi, Grihastha, or whatever. If one simply understands the signs, he can become a spiritual master. Govinda, do you have the sequence of the purport? Could you please give a microphone to Govinda Prabhu?
It is stated in the Hari Bhakti Vilas that one should not accept initiation from a person who is not in the Brahminical order if there is a fit person in the Brahminical order present. This instruction is meant for those who are overly dependent on the mundane social order and is suitable for those who want to remain in mundane life. If one understands the truth of Krishna consciousness and seriously desires to attain transcendental knowledge for the perfection of life, he can accept a spiritual master from any social status, provided the spiritual master is fully conversant with the signs of Krishna. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also stated that although one is situated as a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Brahmachari, Vanaprastha, Grihastha, or Sannyasi, if he is conversant in the science of Krishna, he can become a spiritual master as Vartma Pradarshika Guru, Diksha Guru, or Shiksha Guru. The spiritual master who first gives information about spiritual life is called the Vartma Pradarshika Guru. The spiritual master who initiates according to the regulations of the Shastras is called the Diksha Guru. And the spiritual master who gives instructions for elevation is called the Shiksha Guru. Factually, the qualifications of a spiritual master depend on his knowledge of the science of Krishna. It does not matter whether he is a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Sannyasi, or Shudra. This injunction given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not at all against the injunctions of the Shastras. In the Padma Purana, it is stated, Na Shudra Bhagavad Bhaktas Te Pi Bhagavatottamaha Sarva Varneshu Te Shudra Yena Bhakta Janardani.
Thank you. We could pass the microphone to Godruma Bihari Prabhu, who is a senior man.
One who is not actually advanced in spiritual knowledge of Krishna is never a Shudra, even though he may have been born in a Shudra family. However, even if a Vipra or a Brahmana is very expert in the six Brahminical activities, Patan, Yajan, Dan, and Pratigraha, and is also well versed in the Vedic hymns, he cannot become a spiritual master unless he is a Vaishnava. But if one is born in the family of Chandalas, yet is well versed in Krishna consciousness, he can become a guru. These are the Shastric injunctions, and strictly following these injunctions, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as a Grihastha, named Sri Vishwambar, was initiated by a sannyasi guru named Ishwarapuri. Similarly, Sri Nityananda Prabhu was initiated by Madhavendra Puri, a sannyasi. According to others, however, he was initiated by Lakshmi Patitirtha. Advaita Acharya, although a Grihastha, was initiated by Madhavendra Puri, and many devotees born in caste Brahmin families were initiated by Sri Rasikananda, a disciple of Sri Shyamananda Prabhu. Although Rasikananda was not born in a Brahmana family, there are many instances in which a born Brahmana took initiation from a person who was not born in a Brahmana family. The Brahminical symptoms are explained in Srimad Bhagavatam 7.11.35, wherein it is stated, Yasya lal lakshanam proktam pumso varna bhi vijanitkam yad anyatrapi drishyeta tat tenaiva vinidrishet. Okay, so next person.
Next one. Any volunteers? Premanava or maybe the one in charge of the back program, Pramana. We leave the last paragraph to Guru Shakti afterwards.
If a person is born in a Sudra family but has all the qualities of a spiritual master, he should be accepted not only as a Brahmana, but as a qualified spiritual master also. This is also the instruction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur therefore introduced the sacred thread ceremony for all Vaishnavas according to the rules and regulations. Sometimes a Vaishnava who is a Bhajanandi does not take the Savitra Samskar, sacred thread initiation. But this does not mean that this system should be used for preaching work. There are two kinds of Vaishnavas, Bhajanandi and Goshtiyanandi. A Bhajanandi is not interested in preaching work, but a Goshtiyanandi is interested in spreading Krishna consciousness to benefit the people and increase the number of Vaishnavas. A Vaishnava is understood to be above the position of a Brahmana. As a preacher, he should be recognized as a Brahmana. Otherwise, there may be a misunderstanding of his position as a Vaishnava. However, a Vaishnava Brahmana is not selected on the basis of his birth, but according to his qualities. Unfortunately, those who are unintelligent do not know the difference between a Brahmana and a Vaishnava. They are under the impression that unless one is a Brahmana, he cannot be a spiritual master. For this reason only, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu makes the statement in this verse, Kiva Viprakiva Niyasi Sudra Kenenaya, Ye Krishna Tattva Veti Se Guru Haya. If one becomes a guru, he is automatically a Brahmana.
Jai. So, the rest of the paragraph, we leave it to Guru Shakti.
If one becomes a guru, he's automatically a brahmana. Sometimes a caste guru says that Yei Krishna Tatve Veda Sei Guru Hai means that one who is not a brahmana may become a Shiksha guru or a Vatma Pradakshaya guru, but not an initiator guru. According to such caste gurus, birth and families, ties are considered foremost. However, the hereditary consideration is not acceptable to Vaishnavas. The word guru is equally applicable to the Vartma, Pradakshaya guru, Shiksha guru and Diksha guru. Unless we accept the principle enunciated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this Krishna conscious movement cannot spread all over the world. According to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's intention, Britvite Achayata Nagariti Grame Satvrata Prachara Haiba Mora Nama, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's cult must be preached all over the world. This does not mean that people should take to his teachings and remain Shudras or Chandalas. As soon as one is trained as a pure Vaishnava, he must be accepted as a bona fide Brahmana. This is the essence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions in this verse.
Thank you very much. Om Jnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Malitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama Si Chaitanya Mano Vistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadama Yam Dadati Svapadandikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Hari Rama Hari Rama 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 Hari Hari Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangalam Gayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Vande Shri Guru Dinatarinam. By the mercy of the spiritual master, a blind man can see stars in the sky. By his mercy, a lame man can cross mountains. And again, by his mercy, a dumb man like me can speak few words on this beautiful purport of the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pastaya Bhutale Shrimati Tamala Krishna Vaswamini Tinamine Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vrishtaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunavati Baskata De Satarine Vanchakalpadruvascha Kripa Sindhu Vachapitanam Pavane Vyo Vaishnavi Vyo Namo Nama Kiba Vipragiba Nyashishudra Keninai Ei Krishna Tattva Veta Sei Guru Hai. Whether one is a Brahman, a Sannyasi or a Sudra, regardless of what he is, he can become a spiritual master if he knows the signs of Krishna. So this is here the mandate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu talking to Ramananda Roy, and which is the ultimate statement from the Supreme Personality of Godhead for anyone who has any confusion. We sometimes think that the Brahmins, they are the topmost of the Varna. Or sometimes we think that the Sannyasi is the topmost of the ashram. But actually the topmost is the one who knows the signs of Krishna and he has love in his heart. not just the sign, not knowledge, the signs of Krishna consciousness, but love. Like the name of Srila Prabhupada is Bhaktivedanta Swami. He's not Vedanta Bhakti Swami. The knowledge always follow and is subservient to bhakti. We have Keshava Maharaj, who is the catalyst person for this beautiful school of bhakti. He hasn't named it school of jnana, school of knowledge, because knowledge is not the ultimate pinnacle of spiritual life. Isn't it? Bhavanam jamanam mante yamanam mam prapadyate vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma sudurlabha. You can be bhavanam. Bhavanam means many, many births. You can take a birth again and again and again if you're stuck in knowledge. It's a web. Knowledge, the Vedas, they're very voluminous. And they're very deep, more deep than the ocean. And it's very easy to get drowned into the Vedas. But bhakti is a very simple principle. Bhaktyamama vijanati yavanyas chasmitatvata. That you can only enter in the kingdom of God by the strength of bhakti, not knowledge. The four Kumaras, they are knowledge. They possessed all the Vedas, but they cannot enter the Vaikuntha. They were stopped by Jain Vijay. It was an act of providence by the Lord. You cannot. The teaching there, it's not that their children, you know, very innocent, pure. They had the knowledge, but not bhakti, brahmavadi. To be very knowledgeable, it means you become a perfect brahmavadi. You know the signs of Brahman, the signs of spirit, but you don't have the signs of God and the jiva and the relationship that links both of them, which is bhakti, devotional service. So, this verse is very nice because the normal concept, people, they get fascinated in meetings, you know, the one who speaks the best gets the position. I've been many times, I've been, you know, in the management council, national council, and I've seen even in political field, the one who speaks the best, he gets position, he gets elected. That's usually the most obvious procedure. Oh, such and such, he's good. He speaks very nice. But we have to see what is in the heart of that person, because knowledge is not everything. We had many gurus with the knowledge sitting on Vyasasan. And then the achar was not there. Maybe the prachar is there. Prachar is what I'm doing today. It's what I may be speaking very perfectly, nicely about this verse, but we have to see the achar, my behavior, if I am really living with the words that I am, you know. So that's what it means to be honest. Honest means you live up with your principle. Your words and your action, they have to be one. You cannot have, otherwise you're duplicitous. You can say when someone speaks from the heart, when that person is in union with Krishna, or a truthful person. And not only that, that when you speak, the very topic that you're speaking about, it has more effect when you're practicing it, isn't it? It creates an impact on people. Like, you know, if I hear Govinda, for example, trying to convince, preaching, give a nice class about Harinam, and then he doesn't go in Harinam himself, then it's like, you know, the knowledge that we hear goes in one ear and comes out in the other ear. But when the person practices what he's preaching, then it has an effect. If I preach about book distribution, but then I don't go out, then I'm like the general Garibaldi. He's the Napoleon coward, the general. Let's arm ourselves to the teeth. Let's get this, let's get that ready, and go. And he sends everyone to war, but he stays, you know, home, eating cookies in the cappuccino. That's why they have some cookies in Italy called Garibaldi. I don't know if you It's a joke, but it's the truth also, because he was a coward. But he had some good fighters, so they were very powerful. It was a joke, but Srila Prabhupada is giving very beautiful insight about this purport to guard the devotees about in regards to the first impression that you get about someone. Very often, Shri Radha Gokulananda Kija, we don't know who is sitting next to us. Srinivas, perhaps, so sorry, I didn't wake you up. I'm just using your name as an example. Srinivas, for example, he doesn't know who Tarun is next to him. We think, oh, he's a brahmachari, I've known him for many years in the ashram. But do we really know the person sitting next to us? We don't know. Only Krishna in the heart knows. And we tend to judge that person by the inclination. Oh, he's a farmer. Or he's a driver. Or he is a milkman. Or he is a Brahmin. Or she's a woman. We don't know. So the servants of Srila Ramananda Roy, they were all like highly paid people. They would serve him very nicely because he had a big high position in the government, but they didn't really know. They had no internal credentials or respect towards him. Actually, they criticized them. Early on in these pages of the CC, you will find that they made a comment, you know, how can this Brahman, beautiful Brahman sannyasi with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, can seek the association of a Sudra? So according to them, even though they were carrying him on the palanquin, but the concept that they had about Ramananda Roy was that he's a Sudra. A Sudra cannot deliver knowledge. Usually this is the normal concept. It's like a sweeper in the street. He cannot sit, you know, as a prime minister and giving directives or directions to the population. Immediately we think, he's a sweeper, how can he be an instructor? That's where we get cheated very often, because the appearance could be deceiving. So Ramananda Roy, even though he was honest, he said, "I am a Sudra. How can you inquire from me? How can I give you transcendental knowledge?" But Lord Chaitanya knew very well that this so-called Sudra, he has love in his chest towards Krishna, Radha and Krishna. And he wanted to pull it out. He wanted to invoke that love, not for him, not for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to get purified, but for us, to try to understand here who is sitting next to us. You know, any one of you could be a pure devotee of Radha Gokulananda. And that's why we have to guard ourselves from these offenses, judgment, to perceive someone merely on the appearance of that person, that is a Brahmin or Sannyasi or Sudra, Vaishya or Kshatriya. Anyone can follow his dharma. These are all external dharma. But with a full sincerity, with a Krishna consciousness in his heart, that person is a spiritual master. Doesn't matter if he's any of the four varna or any of the four ashram. Sometimes neophyte devotees, they run after, like mosquito flies, you know, towards the sannyasis. I've done it myself 40 years ago. Jai Gurudev, Gurudev, Srila Bhagavan, Patit Pavan. We don't want to mention any episode, but then yet, you know, you find someone humble, devotee who's been around for 45 years. Someone like who's sitting here in this room, and I don't want to embarrass that person, that he's had like three gurus. And you can see sometimes the sannyasi dress or the position of a guru, it could be just, you know, like a prachar, but not the achar. A guru has to be an acharya. He has to practice what he preach. But that person is still sitting here amongst us. And many of us know who we're talking about, but it's inspiring. That is faith in Lord Krishna. That is the signs of Krishna consciousness. When you have a faith in the Lord, whether you are insignificant pot washer or a preacher who goes out every day trying to connect people towards Krishna, or a Harinam devotee, or a teacher in the Bhakta program, we are all an agent, a mechanism to help someone else to connect with Krishna. And that is called the signs of Krishna consciousness. That person is a guru. Then, of course, Prabhupada specifies in the sequence of this purport what type of guru. Like me, I go out on books, I give something to people. I'm a guru. Yes, I'm proud to be a guru. I'm sitting on Vyasasana. But what kind of guru? Not a Diksha guru. But Vartama Pratakshava Guru, it says here. You have, and can be anyone, a child, a woman, Guru Shakti, she goes out on books. She meets a lot of people. She's a guru. She carries the Shakti of a guru. That's why her name is like that. And when you give the signs of Krishna consciousness to people, you are a guru. And it doesn't mean that initiation, when you give initiation, you are a more important guru than someone who is going in the street or in Harinam and give the holy name or books or prasad to someone. No. You can adopt a child and then after some time you can abandon that child. What kind of father are you? So a Diksha Guru can be a Diksha Guru, he initiates and everything. Very often, you know, they don't even remember. This is not to criticize any guru, but when we accept a lot of disciples, often, you know, they even forget the names of their disciples, which is, you know, it's something that we have to, it's very important, the relationship between guru and disciple, extremely important. And he says, you know, you should not become such a personality unless you are capable of delivering your dependent from the clutches of birth and death. Shivram Swami always used this verse. Don't become a father or a grihastha if you're not capable of delivering your family. Don't become a guru if you're not capable of delivering your disciples. So, we have to be very careful to not undermine the heart of someone who is not in a high ashram, on a high varna, because it could be deceiving. That's why in ISKCON, not in ISKCON, but Rupa Goswami, he's teaching all of us the famous verse of the Nectar of Instructions. Arche Vishnu, what is it, Govinda? Shilanam Guru Sharanam Vaishnav Jade Budir. What else? Beautiful. You could see that there is all the hierarchy of attention, that we have to pay attention to not make offenses. First of all, to the deities, Arche Vishnu Shilanam, to the Shila, the stones, thinking, you know, this is a piece of stone. You go to Govardhan, how can this stone be God? Thinking like that is offensive. And how can a marble sculpture be God, or brass? Arche Vishnu Shilanam. How can a holy water, Charanamrita, be ordinary water? And then we go to this, the meaning of this verse, the guru. We shouldn't think the guru to be an ordinary man. Vaishnav, Jati Budir. And to see a Vaishnav provenient from a particular caste, like, you know, often, oh, this is from the Patel caste, or this is from Parmar caste. I don't know the hierarchy, but there are Parmar, Patel, there are different types of caste. But, you know, we should never think that a devotee is from a particular caste like that. It is offensive. A devotee is a pure soul surrendered to Krishna, and if he knows the signs of Krishna, he's a guru. Or to think someone, she's a woman, or he's Italian or Australian. Like Prabhupada very often he says, you know, it's the Krishna consciousness, it's like the hunger. When you feel hungry, Prabhupada said, I feel hungry in Italian way, and you feel hungry in Indian way, or you feel hungry in a female way, or you feel hungry in a child way, whatever. So hunger is hunger, you know, it's universal. It's a communal feeling that we all have, and it's exactly the same feeling that everyone has in the stomach. So Krishna consciousness, it's the same science that is situated in the heart of everyone, whether it's in dormant stage or manifested stage. But we should not judge that person by the provenience. To think that a Vaishnava is from a particular place, it's actually offensive. That's why we should always be very careful of thinking, who is sitting next to me? It could be an exalted devotee of Krishna. So, a Brahman is equipped with so much knowledge, and sometimes he thinks down on the Sudra. But Tamala Krishna Maharaji said once that if you feel that you have a lot of knowledge and you are actually trapped in that cage, then it's better that you start to serve someone who has no knowledge. Then it will purify your pride. If you feel that you have so much devotion in your heart and it makes you feeling superior to someone who appears to not have much devotion, then you should serve that person that is lacking of that quality. That will purify your pride. On the other hand, when someone who's got no knowledge and he thinks, I've got bhakti, I don't need knowledge, then the so-called bhakti, then he should serve the person who's got knowledge to purify his bhakti. So you see, we have to be very careful in whatever way we think, we have to check that we don't become proud. So the best position is to serve everyone. Serve the advanced devotee, serve the middle class devotee, serve the neophyte devotee, the Kanishtha. And only that, if you want to be even more dear to Krishna, serve the conditioned souls. And serve the animals. Serve the environment. Serve everybody. Everything is an expansion of Krishna. Krishna is in every living entities, in every atom. And there is no excuse. We can't say, you know, that if I'm a sweeper and serving the rubbish, Krishna is even in the rubbish. He's everywhere. He's very kind, very merciful. When you die at the time of death, your mom won't come with you. She loves you, but she won't be prepared to go into the crematorium with you. Or your children, or your friends. Of course, in India, they had this ceremony, the satya. You know, women, they follow the destiny of the husband, and they set themselves on fire. But that's culture. But the thing is, the mercy of Krishna is that when you die, avinyata, that chitta guru in your heart, avinyata means the oldest friend, is the only one who comes with you. And if you happen to go into the body of a worm in the stool, he wouldn't say, oh, that's too dirty. He will leave your heart and he goes away. No, Krishna, he follows the jiva, even in the heart, into the heart of the worm in the stool, waiting very patiently for his devotee to again get a human form. And so you see, Krishna is in everywhere. We can serve everything and everything. We shouldn't think, oh, he's only in the temple. Krishna is Krishna consciousness means that wherever you are, you can be in hell. You stop for a second and think of the Lord in your heart, then you are in heaven. Immediately, you are in the spiritual world. That is why Vishvam Purna Sukhayate, right? What does it mean, Govinda? Ah, beautiful. This man, he knows the Sanskrit. It's beautiful. You see, wherever you are in the universe, even if you are in a good place or bad place, you are always happy. If you think of Krishna, you are happy. That place becomes auspicious, a temple. That is why when a devotee carries Krishna in his heart, if I go to, I'm going to Toddington today to do book distribution. I think if I talk about Krishna, and that place becomes a holy dham. Not because I went there, not because the devotee, it's because the Bhagavad Gita is spoken there. I'm saying few words to people about Krishna, about that person in their heart. They're wandering here and there. Some they want a cappuccino, some they're going Greg's, Mark Spencer, some they put some petrol. But Krishna is tricking them. They think, oh, I need this, I need that, let me stop. But is the Lord stopping them, you know, somehow or another, is putting a brick on their cycle of birth and death to get to meet a messenger, a postman, someone, I'm just a postman, and get the Bhagavad Gita. So those people are fortunate. Even if when you go in Harinam, I assume you go in Harinam today, all those who are, we are here talking, you are sitting, some of those guys there getting up, the little they know, they're having a coffee, whether they take shower or not, and they say, oh, let me go to the high street, I need this, this and that. So Krishna in the heart is preparing them to meet, but they don't know, to meet something special, to be woken up from this material world and from the dream of this world. I always say that this is a world of dreams and the only reality is the love. When a mother loves the child, a friend loves his friend, devotees, they love each other, we preach out of love. That's a reality. But when we put the Krishna in the center of this reality, everything becomes a spiritual world. So, we should understand that a Sudra can be a pure devotee. And a Brahman who is full of knowledge is not necessarily a pure devotee just because of his knowledge. So the four ashram are an external feature of the body. It's a designation. There aren't varna and ashram in the spiritual world. The four varna, four ashram, it's institutional. I repeat again for all those online. The four varna and the four ashram are institutional. Institution. Just like religions, they're all institutions. The mission, the preaching is a mission. Prabhupada gave us both the mission and the institution. You have to have institution in this world, order. Like a priest, you know, he becomes a pope only if he goes through his hierarchy of institution, become archbishop and so on and so forth. So similarly in our society, you start as a brahmachari and then grihastha, vanaprastha and then sannyasi. But is this, to be a sannyasi, the goal of life? Yes or no? Is the goal of life? No, it's not. So therefore, to be a lover of Krishna is the goal of life. And you can enjoy that moment when you start spiritual life, in the middle of spiritual life, and when you finish spiritual life. It's always with you. As long as you know, you serve the devotees, you serve the public, you serve the environment, that is the signs of Krishna consciousness. Then you are a guru. Hare Krishna. I'll stop here. What time is on Saturday? Is it longer? So we got about 5 minutes. We want to hear your... do you all agree what I said? If you don't agree, I mean, you know, we can discuss. I can convince you. Any additional comment, Godruma Prabhu? Govinda, Pramanava, Guru Shakti, and... Yes, sorry. You can get the microphone there.
So, talking about Krishna Tattva, you know, the science of Krishna, and I'm just thinking that when Prahlad Maharaj was asked by his father what is the best thing he has learned, and he says that one who has dedicated his life to the service of Krishna through these 9 methods should be understood to be the most learned person, for he has acquired complete knowledge. Externally, I'm asking, like, because I'm a fool, and so externally, those 9 processes of bhakti, they look like more like art than science. You know, they're, you know, learning how to wave an incense or sing, or how to use your, you know, mind, or we don't consider art to be science. Science is like higher art is kind of lower. Like, so how is this, you know?
Art is like a decoration. Of your presentations, philosophy. Like, you know, a professor, he can teach. But if you develop, you know, good skills, how to impress people, then there is an art. Art, you know, similarly... someone who can distribute books, but then if you do it very well, it's an art. Someone who can sing nicely, but if he's a good singer, he's an artist. It's a kind of decoration. You have a scientist, you know, they are like artists. You know, they can do things and but does that mean that they are devotional? To be sincere and devotional, that transcends, you know, the scales, the art, everything. Like, you know, to become a pujari, if you have a devotion, that's what Krishna wants. So he will accept, maybe you are not very artistic, the way you move your hands, to offer the ghee lamp, you know, the way that you offer the incense, the way. But, you know, the devotion, it's what Krishna is interested of. But then you can decorate that devotion with artistical. You can become very skilled pujari. And everything is paka, nice. So we need the art in this world to make things, you know, more attractive. But it's not really, it's a dress. Just like when models or an actor, he dresses himself. First of all, he's a handsome man or handsome, you know, beautiful girl. It's an art of Lord Brahma has created a beautiful body on that soul. So therefore... And then you can add more art if she learns or he learns how to act. So you see, it's an art, you know, starting from the body. When you carve, you know, beautiful sculpture, if it comes out beautiful, it's a work of art. But the main ingredients in everyone's heart, it's not the ability to do things, it's the devotion, sincerity. Does it make sense? This, you had.
Uh, Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhu. Very nice class. Thank you very much. I have a small question, a point to raise. It seems to me this verse is very evocative of the Bhakti movement in the Middle Ages, right? It's very evocative of the breaking down of the class system and allowing Krishna consciousness to be freely distributed, regardless of social class, so on and so forth. My question is that, I mean, the ladies, for example, they're often considered to be part of the Shudra class. Why are we not still at the point where ladies are not considered to be eligible for to become Shiksha Guru? That's my question.
No, the ladies, they are eligible to become a Shiksha Guru. I think you got it wrong there. Sorry. Shiksha Guru means what I'm doing today, you know, to impart instructions. Any preachers is a Shiksha Guru. And the ladies, they can be more advanced than a Diksha Guru because they're following the legacy of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. We are, you know, the preaching movement. Diksha is not preaching. You give initiation to someone and then what? But Shiksha Guru is someone who's preaching constantly, watering the plant, making devotees. Vani is more important than Bapu. So the ladies, yes, they can be Shiksha Guru, equal, like the men. But Diksha, Diksha is something else because it's a controversy in ISKCON, which I don't want to get there now. It's a forbidden area at the moment. I wouldn't like to discuss it on the Vyasa-san. But if you have a question about why women, they can't become Diksha, you can write to the GBC office in wherever it is, Mayapur or... And they will they have a secretary, they're very well equipped, you know. Yeah. No, this is something else. It's not to do about Diksha Guru. It's also can be implied. Prabhupada said in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the purport, as a Vartama Pradakshava Guru, Shiksha Guru. Yeah? Vartama Pradakshava Guru is the one who gives the seed, the very first seed of Krishna consciousness. And Shiksha Guru is the one who takes care, who is preaching. And takes care of the... yeah. We don't get stuck very much on the different types. One who knows the signs of Krishna is a guru. Let's take that for as the ultimate. A Diksha Guru doesn't necessarily mean someone who knows the signs of Krishna. To give many people, they give initiations. Babaji give initiations in India. They're Diksha Guru, but they don't preach. They don't preach the signs of Krishna. So Shiksha is more important. Yes, Prabhu.
I wasn't sure whether I should ask this question, but
controversial.
Well, not necessarily. Basically, I've read some quotes by Srila Prabhupada saying that, you know, everyone should become, he wanted all of his disciples, I would assume it means all of his followers to become guru.
Is right? He here in this purport as well?
Yeah. So I'm just thinking whether the Srila Prabhupada went, obviously, people have to become qualified, but did Prabhupada want all of his followers to become Diksha Gurus?
All the followers becoming... It's like... then it will be too many chiefs in ISKCON and a few Indians. Everyone is a guru. But who will be the disciple? Everyone has a potential to become a Diksha Guru. About women, I don't know. That I put my hands up. It's something that's still being resolved.
Yeah, I mean, it's just that, you know, men, this is a controversy for people who think, you know, that, you know, Prabhupada is the only, you know, Diksha Guru, you know. So he's asking it from that point of view.
Govinda, you have a little bit more to say on this? I don't know. Sorry. Yes, it's in relationship with this. There you are.
I just wanted to say that the GBC, they've already, from what I can see, they've already passed a resolution.
Yeah, women, they can become Diksha Guru, I know that.
Yes, yeah. So it's already approved.
Yes. Yeah, thank you. In some area. Yeah, Roman, we want to take some insight from Roman, Prabhu.
I just had a question. Thank you so much for the class, Prabhu. Yeah, many good points. I just had a question about the point which you mentioned about prachar and achar. And I was thinking, as neophytes, a lot of time we have to preach above our levels. So first question is that a good thing to do? And the second question is, do you have any advice how we can actually live more what we're preaching ourselves?
That's any advice. That's another class to give on that. But I can tell you something that I live by myself, whether it will help or not. Sometimes I stop myself because the body is a vehicle. It goes through the course of the day. I see myself talking to someone, and on the back of my mind, I stop the vehicle. Am I doing what I'm saying? So that question will lead you to honesty. Even though you are not up to the mark, you're not. But at least Krishna likes it. And then Krishna sees, oh, look at that. He's trying to preach what he's trying to practice what he's preaching, even though it's a lie, what you're telling people. But Krishna likes it. It's a step forward. It will help you to actually start the practice. Like the guru was asked by a woman, can you come and tell my child to stop eating sweets? You know the story. And then the guru said, okay, call me next week. I can't come now. And then after 1 week he came and he said to the child, don't eat sweet. And then the woman asked, why? Why you couldn't do it last week? He said, because I was eating sweets. So I had to stop myself. Anyway, this is a very crude example. But we have to become honest. Honest means, you know, when you can get help from the Lord in the heart to be a good representative of the Lord, and then that's when people they respect more your credential. When you're saying something, it has the fragrance of truth. It's like when you know, in 40 years, I've learned something, you know. When I sit and hear someone speaking, that person, you know, he may be saying something beautiful, wonderful, shastric. But if it's not something that he's practicing, if it's not the truth, if it doesn't carry the fragrance of truth, then I don't know. I don't know how he does to everyone, but it's still not attractive enough. But then you get someone, you say something very simple, but there is a truth in it. Truth means when you practice. Achar and Prachar, they are together. Then it's very effective. Then you say, you walk away, that makes sense. Because it's from the heart of that person, it goes in your heart. That's transcendental knowledge. So Ramananda Roy, he was speaking the truth to Mahaprabhu, and Mahaprabhu received it from his heart. He was honest. He said, yes, I'm Sudra. That's what I am. You want to know about the signs of, I'll try my best. So that's how you help yourself. You check all the time whether, what you're speaking about, you're practicing it. If you're not, then don't worry. Don't get discouraged. Then you say, okay, next time. Then you will see that's how you affect people when you practice what you preach. Does it make sense? So, it's 5 to 9, and now maybe you can go for breakfast, and all glories to Srila Prabhupada.